Because of classes?
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Okay. So, this is probably one of the modules that if you didn't know what to look forward to, this is it. If you knew what to look forward to, this is it. This is not only new to PowerShell.
Is that English?
This is, what?
Never mind.
Oh, it's not only new to PowerShell, this is also one of the most exciting things in PowerShell that's come along. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about this thing called classes. If you're an IT pro, this is also something that could cause fear, just like I have fear. But we need to get rid of the fear. This is when we're going to start to learn more about development. And this is your gateway to helping you learn more about development. And this could make writing your custom resources easier. And as Jeffrey mentioned earlier, a chance for us to start using the same language and being able to communicate with developers better, and better communication between operators and the devs means we got better solutions and things are just going to be, hug it out. It'll be just fine. Yeah. So as nervous as I am about this, let's see what we're going to take a look at. So DSC, we got ourselves, we are in module 4 using classes to build a custom resource. Yes, class-defined resources. And here's what we're going to do in this module. We're going to take a look at what are classes, and actually that's a discussion, the benefits to writing your custom resources using classes, the structure of classes, and then we'll actually create one and see if it all works.
You know, we should first start by showing them the problem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You want to show them the problem?
No. You show them the problem.
You want me to show them the problem? I am the problem.
Go back to the previous one. Well, here, let me show. Let me see if I got it. Okay, let's see. Using the amazing. Let's see. Where were we? Module. Do I have this? Bonk. No, go away. Well, that's a good looking one. Config service, config features. No, I'm looking for the provider. Where was the provider? What module did we do the provider in?
The MVA demo one?
Yeah. Or,
yeah. It's under... Yeah, it's out there.
Nice. Module?
The MVA demo is in module 3.
Three. Okay. So, demo... Oh, I see. You did it this way.
Oh, do you want to see the whole structure?
I want to see the code. Where's the code? Code, my friend.
Oh, I think that was in the previous module. I can help you out here.
Two? Okay, here we go. All right, so...
Oh, there you go, okay.
Imagine, this is great. Okay, so remember we got get, set, test, okay? And there was a moth there somewhere. Where was the moth?
And it's...
Change directory, slash scripts, DSC2.
Yeah.
2 slash...
Is mod 3?
Mod 3?
Or mod 2. Both of them have it, but mod 3.
Mod 2. Dir.
VA demo. And you can get them off underneath.
Okay. So, now, imagine, look here, we say... test. Imagine I want status, right? So GSV ALG. GSV ALG. Okay, stop. Okay, so imagine there's service type. We want to ensure that the service type. So let's say you wanted to add service type. How would you do that?
Well, I would have to go back.
Yeah.
And either manually edit that moth file for the schema, for the properties, yep. Or rerun the designer and...
Well, if you rerun the designer, you're going to get a new template, but it's going to overwrite your code.
It's going to overwrite my code. That's not fun.
That's a bad thing. That's a bad... Doing lots of work and then overwriting it, you're going to have a bad day.
So really, I have to modify that moth file, and that's hard.
Exactly. So what you got to do is you got to go into that moth file, edit.
I think it's under DSC resources and then the resource that you want. Yeah.
You got to go there's into this moth.
Yeah.
You got to go here, and you got to go edit this. Let's just say, bonk, oh. Well, anyway, where are we? You got to go edit this. What did we say it was? Service type. Type. So you got to edit. Well, you got to edit the moth. Let's assume somebody did that
correctly. You are proving the point that this sucks.
Well, no, that's not so bad. Anybody can do that. But here's the gotcha. Remember, you got to get a test and a setting a test. So what you got to do is you got to go down here and you got to go add that. Let's just say it's a string. String. And service type. And then you got to go add it to all the others. So then you got to go.
Yeah, and that's it. You have to now go add it to all the others.
Got to go add it to all the others. And if you typed it wrong somewhere, and blah, blah, right. blah. So, you
bad,
know,
bad, just, bad.
There's a whole bunch of things. Like if you got it right from the get-go, you knew what you were going to do, and you got it right, happy days. But if you didn't and you need to make a change, that's when it was like,
In the odds of getting it right that very first time, no, there's going to be things, and you're going to want to be able to extend this at some point. Your custom resources are.
Exactly. So that's when you're ready for classes.
Boy, that was nice. Classes. So let's talk about classes. So how would you describe this to an IT pro? The idea of us, this is a different.
Well, they're going to be used to it. They're going to be used to this. Look, I mean, everything you've been doing in PowerShell underneath the covers has been using classes and objects. So when you ran get process, guess what you got? You got a class. You got an instances of a class. So now it's just a matter of we're going to help you do that. And you've already been doing this with your code, although you didn't realize it. You know, you've been creating PS objects with properties. You've been using hash tables, et cetera. Well, you'll just find that, you know, a lot when you do that, there are a number of times that it's sort of like a pain. Like that hash table is great, except there's no IntelliSense for the hash table. And that guy forgot to add a property that he really should have added. Wouldn't it be great if there were a way to address those issues? And the answer is, yeah, that's what classes are all about. So I think that most people are going to find it a very natural, like, ah, now I see why you have classes. That's exactly what I was looking for.
And we should say that classes are, this is still a technology in development.
Yep.
And WMF 5, the February preview, has the latest implementation of it. It's working great so far. Now, if you're a developer and you already know about classes and you're going to start looking at things like inheritance and polymorph, all that kind of stuff, that's read the README notes and look at that space going down there for us. So for
That is well worth highlighting. When you say classes, it means a lot. We are focused in on classes to solve the problem of desired state configuration resource creation. Now, that said, we then are going to expand it, and then we'll expand it some more. Between where we are and what a developer thinks of when they think classes is a pretty large gulf, and we'll see how far we get. But then we'll just continue to advance. By the way, it's an uber point we want to make. PowerShell has always been a tool whose intention was to bridge the gap between the developers and the operators. That said, by and large, you know, it's been mostly focused in on the needs of the operators. And then release by release, you see increasing focus in on developers. In this release, you see a real shift up. I mean, we really kind of turned our attention to making it so that developers really liked and used PowerShell.
And I think it's a really good thing because it also gives us as operators, we need to get better at development, and especially with creating custom resources, and this gives us our gateway to do that with the language that we're already comfortable with. So if you were thinking, boy, at some point I'm going to have to go out and learn C#, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way, But you can now do this with PowerShell, and that just makes it easier to get there. So no fear, no fear. Before we show the slide about the benefits, just want to do a big shout out to the folks in the chat room that are that are helping us. The MVPs, we got Goaty PFE out there, Ashley, and we got Dave Wyatt's out there. Dave Wyatt is superstar with DSC. And also I noticed from the PowerShell team, Heeman's out there, which is really cool to have members of the PowerShell team out there helping us out. Big kudos to everyone that's helping us out in the chat rooms. We really appreciate it. So,
and thanks to Richard Sidaway for not.
Yeah, by the way, Rich, that's, thanks, Richard, for, you know, not really
improved the quality of the show.
Helping out, yeah. Could have, it was an opportunity. Thanks, Richard. Anyways, now back to...
No, we love Richard.
Yeah, we do. We really do. We can't understand him, but we love him. So back to the benefits. Benefits to writing your customer research. We've already started talking about this. This is going to be kind of cool. You're not going to need the MAW file. Yay! We don't need to mess with the MAW.
We don't need no stinking MAW.
We don't need no stinking MAW. And also, we're not going to need the DSC resource subfolder in the module anymore. This is going to look cleaner, be easier for you to work with. We can have multiple resource classes. It's just going to be an easier environment to deal with all the way around. Plus, the code actually looks cleaner and prettier, but the code changes a little bit in how we're going to set it up. So the custom resource, the structure of using classes, I want to point something out to you guys here. I brought this webpage of the latest release notes. I just wanted to remind you that when you downloaded the WMF5, make sure you take a look at the latest release notes. They have a lot of information about classes, not only the information that we're using for DSC, but of course, as classes, as they mean to a developer and as that road continues. So make sure you check out the release notes. And at this point, I believe in my little, we're going to go out and create a class-defined custom resource. Now, folks, before I show you the code, I want to point something out. This is an example, and I know that if you're an IT pro, this is one of those times you're kind of like going, oh God, I'm not gonna do this. First of all, I want you to notice that we've already shown you how to create custom resources the regular way with PowerShell, so you can do that. I'm an IT pro, though, that wants to kind of push myself, and so I wanna learn how to work with classes as well. So it's a process in learning, and so while you're looking at my code and we're learning, excuse my dust, okay? That's the moral of the story. But it's okay, we all gotta go through it. We all gotta learn. So let's go out and take a look at some of the structures of this. First of all, I wanna show you a simple structure of what this is gonna kinda look like. And if Jeffrey, you wanna kinda see, here what we have is, and this is actually out of the release notes. That's why I put this up here, was to let you know that this is from the release notes if you wanna find it. Here's where we are specifying that it's a DSC resource, and this is class, and the name of the resource that I'm gonna make.
Yep.
And notice here, looking similar, I would say, to parameters.
But different.
But a slightly different.
Yes, no commas.
Yeah, notice the and that's really important. That's one of the first things, there's no commas. We've got DSC property, we've got the key property, and we've got the mandatory ones. Here's where we're creating those properties. I don't need a MAF now because I'm doing it right here for it. It makes it much easier to extend now. And then we have the three functions that we need to have. Now, they're not called test, target, resource, get. They're called get, set, and test.
Excellent, you passed.
I passed, get, set, and test. And I want you to notice, this is an unusual syntax that a lot of IT pros won't be accustomed to. This is what we expect as a return on this. And so you'll see down in test, we want a Boolean return. Our get is gonna return our file resource. And you know, everybody asks me, void. What is void? What is the great void? A void.
Don't overthink it. It's just a void. There's nothing. Nothing. A void.
Void means don't expect anything. Nothing. It's nothing. It's just nothing.
No, it's worth noting very early on here that with classes, we have much more of a programmer sensibility. Okay, so what does that mean? It's much more formal, and there are much stronger rules. in PowerShell, we always like to say it was like an AK-47, right? Which is to say, the great thing about the AK-47 is that it's a gun that can endure much hardship. You can drop it in the mud, you can get sand in it, and it's a very sloppy thing, but it always works. It's very reliable under a wide range of conditions, but not particularly accurate. Okay, whereas some other guns like the AR-15 M16, they're much finer,
very
precision
precise.
Devices.
Much more accurate.
But they're less robust.
Drop them in mud, forget it.
So the point is that, sometimes you want one and sometimes you want the other. So PowerShell scripting is very, very loose. You don't have to return something. You can use a return statement, but then if you omit something in the middle, that gets returned too. You don't have to declare variables. You don't have to return variables. You'll see with classes, there are much more restrictive set of rules. So for instance, if you're going to return something, you'd have to declare what you're going to return. So you did that both by declaring the bool and the file resource. So can we switch to my monitor for a second? So here, test is going to return something. It's going to return. You have to declare that it returns a bool. And when you look at the code, you have to do a return. You have to use the return statement. Here, if you think about it, remember we said get returns a file resource. That is you. You're the file resource. So you're getting one thing. And again, you have to return it.
You have to return it.
And that's, so by the way, if you don't do that, let's just say I do this, I hide that, it comes back and there's an error. Not all code paths return value within this method.
And I think this error is a really good error if you're just starting out with classes to take a look at and realize what just happened, because you're going to see it when you start to write it. As soon as you make like a get, a set, or a test, you're going to get this squiggly underline and it's going to tell you that you don't have a return in it, and that's because you need to type the word return and what you're returning back to it.
Yep.
It's one of the things, it's actually very helpful, of course, but at first it's kind of like, oh, what's going on here? And I'd like to point out that, you know, as an IT pro, the looseness of PowerShell was a good thing. It allowed me to not have to worry about too many rules, especially things like I don't have to, you know, I could just make my variables when I needed them and fill them with data. And not worry about necessarily the type that I was filling it with. And now that we're going to classes, more developer-centric, a lot more rules, but it's okay. Those rules are things that you learn quickly in it. For it. So awesome. So we've seen kind of a basic structure for this. And now what I want to do is
Can I highlight something?
Absolutely.
Go to my system here for a second. So this is, by the way I write functions, right? Function T, return test. Okay. So here's the gotcha. Here's one of the heartburns, kind of a loosey model can bring. So here we have a function T and it returns test. Yeah. So
okay.
We find that happy days. I type T, happy, happy, happy. Yeah, right? So that's all great, right? But then what happens if I do something like this? Right?
Oh, yeah.
And then, well, what's going to happen? Is it just going to return test? No, oh, yes, it will return test, absolutely.
But it's going to return the other ones, right?
It's going to return those other things.
Yeah.
And so this is the thing that developers, their head would just explode. Like, these are shell semantics, right? So,
oh, thanks. Boom.
Right? So if you just saw this, if you're a scripter and you saw this, like, this makes total sense, right? Oh, okay, things that are emitted from a function are the things that get returned. So, you totally get that.
Yeah.
But then, as soon as a developer sees this, you know, okay, I get that. But then when they see this return bar, it just blows. They think that the other thing shouldn't happen, and they're kind of right.
And with PowerShell, it's going to happen to them. So.
Yes, exactly. Well, with classes, that's not the case. When you have a class here, let's say here, let's see, we did this function. If you did, you know, foo and bar here. Those things, if this was a function, they would be emitted to the output stream. Here they are not. Here they are thrown away.
So this will not show up, and this is a great rule for an IT pro guy. There are some things that we've become accustomed to because of the flexibility of PowerShell that we've got to be aware of is not going to happen now.
Exactly correct.
The way that we expect it to. I think that's a great example of that kind of issue. That's perfect.
There you go.
Okay, awesome. Well, let's take a look here. I've got an MVA class service. And by the way, if you're following along in the demo, I just opened this up. And using that class structure, started to create service name, ensure, and service status. And this is the same code that I was using before. And let me just kind of go down and step through this a little bit. Before, when we were doing this, here's the test. Same code that I was using before. But you know, there's this weird... Oh, and this kind of throws me off. It's it's on my brain. What is this? Dragon?
It refers to the current instance of the class.
And this is a challenging concept, right? Because we have to think this through a little bit. No?
No.
No.
Okay, you guys, have you used script methods in classes?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Let's see if we got one. I think it's the same thing. Let's see. So $S, where are we? Let's do this calc. Yeah. And then we'll say $P equals get process calc. $P, happy days. $P. Pipe to get command. Okay, so notice, have you ever noticed this? You can say $P dot description?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Now that doesn't really exist on a process object. We have a descriptor. Or sorry, we have a script method. And so if you've been doing this, get member description, pipe to format list, sorry. What happens is on this, we have a name, description. Its member type is script property. So we'll then go add that to everything. And then the definition is $this.mainmodule.version.filedescription.
So $this is the instance of this, can I say object? Or
Yeah.
This object that you currently have.
Yep.
And now people, I think some of the IT guys are kind of going, oh, wait a minute. Okay, this is like when we're working with the pipeline, the current object in the pipeline. Okay, I've got symbology for that. Okay, this is a real living thing.
Yep.
And I can then use dot notation to either call methods or get to properties of it.
Bingo.
See, this wasn't that hard. And let me show you how you're going to see this when you work with it. So take a look. I've got service exists. I'm going to change this code for a second. And what I had in my prior version of the code was get service name, and I used... There was a variable that I had in the private version called $ServiceName. So if I type, watch what happens with the IntelliSense. I start typing $ServiceName. I want you to notice it's not being listed and I'm getting red squigglies. It's because that's not how you use the syntax here. Watch what happens when I use this object, dot, and now there's that property, service name. So it'll help you when you're first starting to work with this. Again, using the IntelliSense and the color syntaxing as it moves along. So this is the same code, but it has been fixed with that. So if this ensure, and Dave Wyatt, I probably have the same mistake in here I did the other one, is present, if service exists, this guy here equals null, and go down and check it, nothing to configure. This is the same code we looked at before, so I got true, false. Let's see if I still have the same boo-boo. You are correct, I still have the same boo-boo. I'll fix that while I'm here. And so that's my test. And I took the same code for the set and just made the modifications in here. Now, if you're a developer and you're saying, look, your code's not like really pretty and it's not like optimized. Yeah, you're right. I'm a PowerShell guy using PowerShell. And so am I going to improve it? Yeah, as I learn more, I'll improve it. But right now, this works. So it makes me happy.
Looks great.
Oh, thank you, sir. So on the set method, I've got write verbose, changing
the prettiest code in the world.
What's that?
You know the prettiest code in the world?
What's the prettiest code in the world?
Code that works.
Code that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. as a scripter. God, if it works, I'm happy. So I've got, again, I'm using the right verbose in here, keeping it pretty simple right now. And then if this service status equals running, I'll start the service and stop the service. Again, it's the same code. It just had to make this modification to it. And I've also got the set up the same way. So here's my first class. This is my first class. This is awesome. I call it class service. And you know, we're pretty much ready to go. So we'll take a look here. Now, this class is going, oh, let me make sure I save that. We're gonna need, for this module, we're gonna still need a module manifest. And in this module manifest, I wanna show you that I'm gonna create the module manifest out here, PSD1. I'm gonna give it the root module of what I'm saving the module as, giving it a GUID and giving it its module version and then additional information. I do want you to notice this right here, what resources to export.
Yes.
Again, this is a really important thing, right?
Because, very important thing.
I wanted to export class service. If a lot of times, especially if you look at Microsoft's code and you're writing your own code, you look at other people's code, you've got those get, set, and test, and then a ton of helper functions and things like that. This kind of controls this a little bit, and
yeah,
from us, blah.
Yeah, right, puts the bulk of the show behind the curtains.
Yeah, keeps, yeah, the bulk of it behind the curtains. You can even, and I put this in here as a comment, you can specify a required PowerShell version, which right now, if you're working with classes, it's probably a good idea to have that in there. So let's go ahead and make this. Woo, got out of control there. We'll go ahead and make the manifest for it. And I just have it here. If you were looking at the examples, you could look at the manifest and take a look at it. You've seen them several times now, but verify that everything's in there the way that you want it. You can make changes right to there. And, well, I don't know. Let's see if it works. First of all, what I'm going to do is, I don't know why I did it this way, but I created a new folder and then I copied it. Two steps when I could have just done one, but yeah. I'm going to copy that out. I'm copying this to my local machine right now. We've already seen how we could deploy it through a pool server. And I want you to notice that what I'm doing is I'm copying it out to modules, MVA class service. And I wanted to show you this because the structure is now simpler than it was when we were using the designer. So if I go out here, MVA class service, I'm gonna open this up. You can see that, oops, why did I do that? Yes, you're all saying you clicked on the wrong thing. So let me go back out there, modules, MVA class service. Look, that's it. I've got a folder and I've got the manifest and the module. Much simpler at that point. And now we'll just do get DSC. Oh, let's see if it happens. Let's see, get DSC resources. And yeah. It's gonna be awesome. We're gonna find MVA class and see if it, oh, and I got lucky. I was hoping I wasn't gonna get lucky. I gotta be honest with you. I was hoping that this was gonna fail.
Why?
Because this is what you and Dave were talking about earlier, because we're going to show it right now. I was hoping that this wasn't going to show up. I was hoping that this wasn't going to show up.
You hadn't loaded it yet.
What's that?
You hadn't loaded it yet.
Oh, that's
true. So it always brings it in the first time.
It always brings it in the first time if I then made a modification.
Because it's a cache.
So do you guys remember when we were talking about that these get cached, you know, we want the efficiency and all that, but in the process of developing, I got it loaded the first time, but let's say I need to go in, I'm testing it, something's wrong, I make changes. Well, it's not gonna get reloaded. And so what we can do is we can set the debug mode, and that's what I wanted to show you. I've got an example here for you of doing it.
Before you debug mode, can we go back to your code?
Sure. The module code?
Yep. So here's the point. Remember, we started this by motivating if you do it in PowerShell as a get target resource, set target resource, test target resource, and you want to add a parameter, you've got to go add it to the MOFT, you've got to go add it to each one of the things, you got to get it exactly right. Here, you would do...
We'll just add another parameter. And let's call it, let's call it fun.
Boo.
Fun with MVA. Or foo. That would work.
And I probably don't want to make it mandatory.
Yeah, you're right. Let's see. With. And so let's.
Turns out if you're not going to use it, you don't need to type it right.
You don't need to spell it right if you're not going to use it. I love that. So I've just created another property. I didn't have to touch a moth.
Exactly. And then you can go and then you can access it from each one of your get, set, and tests.
And in fact, just so everybody could see, I could just go down here and this dot, whoops.
Oh, you got to be in a method.
I got to be in the method. So dollar sign this dot.
See?
Ooh, that's awesome.
And so it's so much easier to keep your code coherent, nice, small, and by the way, it runs faster.
And it runs faster?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot faster? A little faster?
Varies, but in general, faster.
That's good. Faster is better.
Yep. And we have the structure to make it run much faster.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we're doing a lot of, it's less
Okay, so it's lower down, basically.
Lower down.
Yeah, okay. This is I like
especially
this.
Like the new. Have you done the new? Did you show people how to do a new?
I haven't shown. No, I haven't done a new.
Okay, well, can we show them how to do it?
Yeah, show them.
We got yours. Wait, you got the class? Do I have the class?
Yeah, you have a two class service, whatever you want to do.
Let me see. Do I have it? I do. Okay, so here's the thing. When you define one of these things, now here we're defining it in the context of DSC. We're going to use it in the context of DSC. So you're never really going to do what I'm going to show you in general. But now, okay, so we now have this class. What do we call it? File resource. Okay. File resource. Okay. So what file resource? Did I do it wrong?
Oh, you... Oh, no, it should be out there.
Oh, I had an error.
Oh, yeah.
What did I do?
Unable to find type. Oops.
Okay. Sorry. Here's the problem. So, it's worth describing. Okay, look there. Okay. I just ran the code in an interactive session and then tried to use it and it failed. This is something to be aware of. That's exactly correct. Turns out that there's a thing about .NET and classes, and you can fill your run space, your process with garbage as you run this over and over again. So what happens is we create these in a way that then they get cleaned up in the interactive session.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So what happened was I ran it, and then I threw it away.
It got cleaned up.
And then I tried to use it, and I couldn't use it. Okay, so here's the thing. Here, you can say file resource. There. Oh, by the way, did you see all those?
Yeah.
That's a vestige of it. It's been called a number of different times. So here you create it. And now when I do a run, yeah, save it. That's fine. Okay, it shows me that type. Now, if I want to create one of these things, one of the things we could do is, what was it? How do we used to do this? We'd say new object.
Right.
New object minus type file resource. Okay, let's run that. Oh, sorry, let's run that. Run, hello. let's run that. Anyway, so you can do it this way. You got to find the right name. But here's the right way to do it now. Now what you do is you say bracket new.
Colon,
new.
Yeah, okay, new.
And then this. Go away. Boom.
Boom.
And the thing is that this syntax is extremely fast. And by the way, you can use it for everything now.
And so, do you think that going forward we're going to stick with this syntax and not try to deal? Because I know I've heard guys say, well, why can't I use new object?
You can, but this is a much better way to do it.
So
now it appeals to developer sensibilities. So if you can get your head around it, you're much better off with this because it's so much faster. And again, you can do it for everything, right? String new. Right. Well, I guess there's not one for that. Was it datetime new? Datetime new. What am I doing there? Huh. Okay. Well, I'm messing this up. Anyway, but in general, you can use this syntax for any class instead of new object. And it is a ton faster.
Well, if it will right there for an IT pro, if it's a ton faster, and as if it's going to make the communication with my developer, if it's going to make it maintainable code between us, then that's definitely the best way to do it.
Oh, here you go. Oh, there you go.
Oh, there, yeah.
So, oh, you want a ticks. I guess that's, see what time that is. Oh, there you go.
Oh, wow.
So
the default, it wanted it in ticks, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't it like 1/18th of a second or something?
That's like bad Lyme disease. Okay, so here's the thing. If you just say new, it shows you all the constructors, and then you pick the one you want. And
right.
So then what was the other one I did? String, new. Oh, there you go. Yeah, right.
Cool. So this is definitely the best way to do it. That's awesome. I like that. And so,
just to highlight again the thing there, when you run the script to create the file in process interactively, you run the script to create the class interactively, it gets created and then discarded so that your process doesn't clog up. So when you want to use it, you do it this way. You go and you create it and you use it in the same file.
And that way, and guys, you know this, we make functions and call that function right in the same file, because if you just ran it, it would just discard it.
Yes.
So this is really good stuff. So now one of the things you can do is make simple classes and actually play with instantiating or creating those objects off those classes. Awesome. So let's talk about this LCM issue as well. So the LCM, if I just went in and made a change, Jeffrey just had me go in and change and add in a new property to this. If I run this and now it's not going to get updated, it's not going to show in my system because it was already cached. So what we can do is, and this is new. Is it new to the February, or was it a little bit earlier than that? I don't really remember. I think the debug mode was new to the February release. I could be wrong. Somebody can correct me on that.
No.
Oh, so it was...
We changed the name. The values.
Oh, the values. Okay. Yeah. So
it used to be like true and false. Now we got an enum.
Got it. And a matter of fact, we'll show that to you here. First of all, I'm going to do a local configuration manager. I'm calling this config debug. I'm going to set the settings on the LCM, and I'll just show you that if I do the IntelliSense thing, here's the different things that you can use. All will make sure that it always refreshes. In other words, you're turning off that caching capability out there so that as you make changes and you run, get DSC resource, you will always get the latest and greatest from it. So I'm going to run this. Not that we're making a whole lot of changes, but I'm going to run this anyways just to show you, and you'll see that I'm going to set it on here. Debug mode equals all. We'll get that set, and then let's make a configuration. We'll do a configuration with this. At this point, we're going to use that resource. So as you can see, I'm going to just import it just like we did before. I'm going to make a configuration, import it. It's going to be MVA class service, the one that I written as a class, and I'm going to use it the same way I did before. Now, when I go to the IntelliSense for my class service, I got the beautiful IntelliSense for it, showing me all of my properties and what they're set up for. And I'm going to do bits. In this case, I'm going to say bits is running. I'm always playing with a service. And let's go ahead and make it. La la la. Yes, the sound effects are free. So let's take a look at get service. I don't remember the state that I had this in. Oh good, it stopped. And what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna send that configuration. Now this is the configuration that's made using, it's the resource I wrote as a class. I'm so excited. Please don't break. You did awesome, it worked. So if you take a look here, there's the verbose output that it came back with. It's changing the service status as I needed. You can see where it's importing that module and bringing it up in force mode and changing the service status. So we got our debug mode set to all, and it actually ran for us. Yay, we made classes.
Woo-hoo! Yeah.
So, I think that's all I got.
Okay, well, I'll show you. Let's have some more fun with classes.
Okay, good.
So go back to mine. So classes can be used for a lot of things. So now we showed you classes for DSC, but I'm just going to show you classes because they're fun. So here we have one that's inspired by Jason.
I was going to say.
That class clown.
I can see this getting instantiated as.
It has one parameter or one property called name. And this is how you do a constructor. You give it its name, and it's going to take a variable name. And then notice you have to say this dot name equals name. So this is the parameter, and this is one of the reasons why you always have to call it this dot this dot something, because otherwise, when you referred to name, what did you refer to?
Right, it would get confused.
Yes. So you, whenever you're referring to your a class instance's properties, you have to use this. Okay, so. That's why you can do this syntax. So then I have a method, getClownFeet, and it returns a string. Now it then has to return something, and notice again, I have to say this.name. Originally when I did this, I said, oh, well, it's just a...
name, right?
Name.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wait a second, no, what's that? Variable's not assigned in this method. Ah, it's because, by the way, because I could have said, $name equals $this.name. Okay, so I could have done that, and then it is work.
Oh, then it would work. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But so you always have to refer this.name refers to this thing. Okay, so anyway, and so then what I did was a simple string. The name has run a command, shoes. So then I come down here and I say clown colon colon new. Now remember, the constructor, this is calling the constructor, clown. It requires a parameter name, bozo, get clown feed. So, and then here, I'm gonna create one, zippy, and say out.string, and then get clown feed. So we do a CLS. There you go, bozo has size 10 shoes. When I did the outstring here, it showed me an object who's, you know, a clown that has a name, Zippy, and then we called get clown feet, and Zippy has size 15 shoes.
Oh, cool.
Now let's see whether this works. So let's say this was, let's have some fun. Sorry, I did this wrong. Okay, let's say, because I forgot how we did this. We've gone through a lot of iterations, and here what I'm going to show you is classic PowerShell. Let's have some fun. Can I say parameter? Oh. I'm not sure. Let's try this. Validate set. Bozo, Zippy, and then, to see if that actually works, what I'd do is I'd say, give me a clown. Oh, here we go.
Famous clown. Anybody in production, famous clown. We got Bozo, Zippy. What else we got? Clown.
Jason.
Pennywise.
Penny, what?
Pennywise.
Pennywise?
Jason.
Oh, Jason. Okay, good.
There you go.
Oh, it comes up and it says variable name with Jason is not, okay, excellent.
So this stuff all worked fine, but this didn't. Okay, so you can add your validate sets. So this is very much like, you know, the syntax is a little bit different, but it's very much like Camelot. So again, what was the message? The message was you learn, invest, learn one thing, and then you'll be able to use it over and over and over again. JP Patches.
Now we're done with the demo, and now you come up with the clown name.
Slowbrain.
Figures.
One neuron.
One neuron. No, this is outstanding. As a matter of fact, guys, I'll rip this off and include it in an update to those modules that you can get off the gallery, just as kind of a playing with classes kind of thing to get started with. This is valuable for all of us right now because it's new, and to seeing how the implementation is going of the classes.
Let's try this. Integer, $i. $this.name. name equal clowns plus an I. Sorry. And then I'm going to do this. I'll sign clowns equals Zippy Bozo Jason.
Oh, okay. And you still have the validate set. Okay, cool.
Okay. So the point there is, I don't have validate set, but it takes an integer.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. So what that then says is, I can say new. So what I'm showing you for your programmers is you can have method overload. Okay. So here we're calling clown and you're passing in a string. Here we're calling clown, the constructor, and we're giving it a number one. So indeed you can do that. Here's the clown constructor that takes a string. I should tell it that that's a string. String. So this is going to get called. Here, I'm calling it with an integer. Oh, what did I do there wrong? Clowns, dollar sign clowns. And there you go.
There you go. And this is just setting it up as an overload. I know a lot of IT guys, when we're passing things to GetMember, we're looking at methods. We want to execute the method.
Yep.
And a lot of IT guys may not call them overloads, but they might look at like a change method, and they're looking at the stuff inside of the parens and then setting that stuff, null, 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 whatever, and doing that. That's what you're doing. So the concept here is the same.
Exactly.
Only now you get to write the code and have it execute. See, this whole class thing is, I think, amazing and wonderful. If you're an IT guy, jump on the bandwagon. If you're a developer, yay, you're happy. You're happy. Yes. So, folks, we just went through and did a class-based custom resource. Definitely the future of how you should be creating your resources. I know a lot of people will be really happy with this particular module because it's going to change how they're currently developing their resources. So that's outstanding. This has been a really fun module with a lot of additional extra information in it. When we come back after a meal break. We're going to do something else. It'll be cool. It'll be fun. We're on a marching road of funness. So it'll be awesome. See you when we get back after a meal break.